Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast presented by Omaha Steaks. It's another Dog Pack Discord. Josh All, Justin Charles, and we've got Kenny McAttack from Canada in here with us today, co-hosting. And we're going to be breaking down. We're going to be talking about the Vikings game yesterday. The, you know, exhilarating, exciting, super fun to watch preseason game between the Browns and Vikings. Yeah. I say that very sarcastically because it was another snooze fest, but we're going to dive into it. We're going to get your opinions. These guys are going to come up on stage, talk to us, and we're going to break it all down. So before we bring the first person up here, and again, if you guys are in the audience and you want to come up and talk, throw those hands up so I know who to call on as soon as I'm done doing my opening spiel here. But if you guys also want to take part in these Dog Pack Discord episodes, just head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member on the Patreon page, get you access to the private Discord, which gets you into these Discord shows. You can come in the audience, come up on stage, talk to us, ask questions, all that good stuff. And this is the last week for fantasy football signups. We've been pushing and pushing. We've got, I think the fifth league now is probably, I haven't done the final tally. I think it's pretty much filled up. So we're working on that new sixth league because last year we had five. We'd like to do six this year. So if you want to get into fantasy and you want to play with us and the rest of the Dog Pack this year, you can still get in. If you get in before Friday, you're guaranteed a spot in a league. So no worries. Get in before Friday. But that is the that's the deadline, the cutoff, the 23rd. So you got like 5 or 6 days left, and that's it. So get in, jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. And again, before we start here, if you guys are watching this on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to the channel, tap that notification bell. We're about 150 away from 10K subscribers on YouTube. Huge milestone for us, so please help us get that done. If you have not subbed to the show on YouTube, just a quick click and you're good to go. So please do that for us. We really appreciate it. All right. So we've got a few guys here in the audience and I see no hands up. Does anybody want to come up before we start talking about the game ourselves? Anybody? Anybody? Truth. Jackson. Pastor Rob. All right. We got Pastor Rob wants to come on up. Let's get him on stage. How are we doing today, Pastor Rob?
I'm good. How are you, gentlemen?
Good, good.
Doing good, my man. Lovely.
Let's talk defense, because I think talking offense is not going to lead to us having an enjoyable time. My thoughts on the defense is I can see the workings of what he's wanting to do. You can see the motor up front. You can see the way they're changing the patterns. It wasn't very simple. They put some levels on it, even though it was Hall and like Thomas and stuff like that. They were the guys that would normally be up there, but you could see that they were doing some of the stuff that looked really good. I think there was one move where Paul pushed two players out of the game and Thomas stunted outside, broke inside, and just straight to the QB with Hall taking two players out of the game. The other one was the backside. Everybody was playing off man. And that's the easy way to find out if you're going to live in the NFL. Play off man, and if you can stay there and stay with your man. A lot of them were getting beat, but a lot of them were doing really well and catching up. That athleticism, getting in there. I liked what I'd seen from the defense. It doesn't look good on the numbers sheet because not everybody on the defense is good. But the overall feeling of the way the defense was going from that game, I felt like that looked like something that is good. I'm not yet on offense. I'll leave that. I'll ask you questions on what you think of the defense so far this offseason.
Yeah,
I agree with you, buddy.
For sure, man. I'll let Justin continue here in a sec. I just want to make a quick note, and we'll obviously talk about offense and everything here on the episode, but I wanted to shout out Quincy Carrier. Had a nice tweet, I believe it was today, and he said, we got to remember that the Browns made 39 players inactive yesterday, and the active game day roster is 48. So yesterday, I know we say a lot of times, like preseason, we're watching a lot of these backups. Well, this wasn't just like second string yesterday. Yesterday was a lot of third and fourth string. I mean, we started our third string quarterback for the first half. So Oh, you're right. A lot of these players, you know, I was thinking of Miles Harden was an example that came to mind. Tony Brown, some of these corners in the secondary, like you're talking about, you know, they had some nice plays where it's like, wow, okay, they were in the right spot. They made a good move. They undercut a pass. They, you know, this and that and the other. And they had other plays where they just got beat. And it was like, man, that guy, yeah, that was a rough play for so, you know, Tony Brown or, you know, Miles Harden again. But that's because these are third and fourth stringers or worse. And overall, I will just say that I did like what the defensive line was bringing yesterday, but Justin, go ahead, man. Give us your thoughts.
No, I agree. I agree with the defensive line. I thought that they showed a little bit more. It wasn't so vanilla. And then the thing, I guess, that was frustrating yesterday is, and we talked about last week, was a lot of like missed tackling and stuff like that. But heading into the game, Josh, you touched on it. I looked at the players that weren't going to be playing, and it was basically everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody, when I thought, hey, let me go to that position and find the starter and see if their name is on this list, they were on that list. So I think that was part of the frustration. But no, I thought that for it being a lot of depth pieces on defense, the line I thought was impressive yesterday. Extremely impressive. So, I mean, if you're going to take positives out of yesterday, take that out of it.
I mean, when you've got guys like Jeremiah Martin making big plays on the field and sacking the quarterback and getting up and, you know, doing his celebrations and stuff. It's like, wait, who's Jeremiah Martin? You know, that just shows that this depth line yesterday was doing pretty well.
Yeah, I totally agree. The first note that I made was that the idea is that most of these guys are not going to be playing. And I meant period. Definitely the regular season, but they're not going to be playing for the Cleveland Browns. And I was happy to see Martin. I was happy to see Williams get the two sacks. Like, there was some progress in that game. Pastor Rob hit the nail on the head. They were playing man, and playing man the whole game, that's tough. You are going to get lit up at some point because those guys know what they're doing. I would have really liked the scene, and I called it before the game. It never happened, but I sent it to Josh. I said, Miles Harden is going to get a pick, and it unfortunately went right over his head to whatever receiver, and it was a 71-yard touchdown. But he was in front of him. I thought he had the position, and it didn't work out for them. The only thing that I didn't like about the defense, I think, are the back end of our defensive tackles are soft on the run. The only guy that looked good is when Shelby Harris went in the game, and that was it. We are getting pushed all over the place, and if Ika wasn't playing, we would probably be doing way better. But it's very concerning for Ika. He played the entire game, and as Zagura said near the end, most of the guys playing in that fourth quarter unfortunately won't be on this team.
Yeah,
I think that's a huge point that you're bringing up, Kenny. because the Zagura, you brought it up too, said the same thing. Guys that are not going to be on this team are out there playing, and Ika's out there. And then you go and look, and I could be wrong, but I didn't see any stat line at all for Ika. I didn't see a tackle on anything. So I'm not even sure that he, you know, like as far as like, I know that's not always says how effective a guy was out there, but I don't see anything on the stat line either for him.
He's got nothing, dude. It's all zeros except for his snap count. He had snaps, didn't do a thing.
I think you put over the negative pancakes. He had negative pancakes, as in him falling on his ass rather than putting someone on their ass.
Yeah.
Our offensive tackles had more tackles than he did because of the interceptions, man, which totally sucks.
That's rough.
Damn, yeah. That is a rough point.
Yeah, I think everybody's of the opinion Ika's gone. It's not even, I don't think it's even a debate now. I think he's gone. I think he's cut. I don't know. We're not trading him. I don't think anybody would pick him up.
It's unfortunate. The Anthony Schwartz of defensive tackles right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, Anthony Schwartz could actually do something, though. Like, if Anthony Schwartz ran down the field, he would take men with him because you have to cover him. If he just stood on the line, I'm not even sure he could trip someone up.
Yeah, they're not wasting too much effort trying to block him, that's for sure.
Just awful.
Yeah, so looking at defense on the line yesterday, let's just talk who started. So Shelby Harris started, Isaiah McGuire, going down the list here, Isaiah Thomas, who I thought had another nice game, and then Sam Kamara was the other one who started on the line. And then Chris
Hall started on the line.
Hall? Well, I don't know if he was out. He's not listed as a starter.
He was already
in there with the starters. Yeah.
I thought he was out first split. Sorry, apologies.
Hey, this is PFF. So, I mean, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. I don't know. I'm just going off of what they've got listed here. But Chris Edmonds. So yesterday I didn't even catch that Brady Breeze had got moved to the IR. So he's out.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I was like, wait.
And released, I believe. I'm pretty sure that they let him go for a roster
position.
Okay.
So he was an injury settlement wave.
Great. Yeah.
Thanks, Kenny. Yep.
Well, that sucks because he looked kind of good last week in the first game.
Yeah. No, 100% agree. That's why our back end safety play was a little rough. If you notice, they got a lot of completions their tight end in the middle of field because both safeties that were playing at the end of the game, we just picked them up this week.
Aha. Yep. Well, that will probably do it. So, I mean, it's just...
You've got to remember this game, it was both teams sat like 30-odd players from their top end.
I think everybody did this week because of joint practices.
Not everyone. Chicago played the starters.
Yeah, there were more teams this week than I thought that played some of their starters, at least for a drive or two, which, whatever. I mean, every team's got to make their own, you know, decision on how they want to treat the preseason. The Browns have clearly said we're going to kind of fine-tune and develop some of these backup guys and see who's making the back end. I think also because the Browns know the majority of the roster, who's solidified on the roster, in my opinion. And it's like, okay, we just kind of need to figure out who's filling some of these depth holes and some of these position battles. But our roster is pretty much set the way it is as far as who's making that team. So they're not trying to find, you know, who's going to make the team in a whole lot of important spots. It's kind of how I take it. And then, you know, we talked about Deshaun Watson supposed to be starting next week. Actually, Pastor Rob, before we dive into that, is there anything else you wanted to say? I want to see if somebody else wants to jump up on stage.
Bobby or Rob, I'm good to shoot.
All right, throw your hand back up if you want to come back on up. Does anybody? Okay, we got Andrew Jackson. All right, Andrew, what's up, buddy?
Oh, what's going on, guys?
What's up, baby?
What's going on, my man?
So, I didn't watch all the game because I think, as you said before, it was just really a snooze fest. But what is your guys' level of panic at this point in time after the injuries from the week over the last two, I guess that's 2 weeks, and like the problems with the O-line and everything like that. Like, what's your panic meter at right now?
I would say mine's minimal because I don't have any starters in there. Like we're talking about, I mean, it's the back end of our 90 that's in there. That's overall. If we're just talking about the offensive tackle position, though, I got to see what's actually happening with these guys. Like, a lot of them either walked out with a boot or on crutches. We ended up playing at the end of the game. I made a note. We had the 91st guy on our roster actually playing offensive tackle yesterday, and that's the international player. And so that is super panic mode for me because I don't know what's going to happen next week based on all the tackle injuries. The guys that are available right now are Donovan Smith, David Bakihardi, DJ Humphreys, Jason Peters still is available, if you can believe it. So I don't know what they can possibly do unless, you know, AB works his magic and makes some kind of trade like he usually does.
Yeah, so just to kind of fill people in real quick, if you didn't catch the game yesterday or follow what happened, we lost three tackles, which we've already got our two starters on the pup. Coach said that Jed Wills, still not expected to practice this week, but he's doing good in his whatever rehab coming back. I don't know. I am getting a little nervous, Andrew, if these guys are even going to be ready for week one. I'm sure they will be, but a couple weeks out from the start of the season, we still don't have our starting tackles in camp. It is kind of worrisome, especially when we're sitting here saying, well, James Hudson's really the best backup we have at left tackle. They put him at right tackle yesterday. Now he's out with an injury. He left yesterday with an injury. Hakeem Adeniji left with an injury. And then Jermaine Afidi started at left tackle yesterday. He left the game with an injury. So you said, we ended with Embateka at right tackle, and Lorenzo Thompson, I believe, was playing left tackle.
Yep, there you
and
go.
I understand it's the super depth of the depth at that point in the game anyway. But now we've got, you know, you got to think about it. We probably going to keep 10 offensive linemen on the roster. I think that's what we kept last year. We've got 7 offensive linemen that we had before the training camp started. We have 7 guys that we projected to make the final roster who are now injured. Our 2 starting tackles, now these 3 backups. We already lost Brian Allen and Luke Whipler. It's kind of insane. So, yeah, my panic meter on the offensive line, the depth, the injury situation, I am getting a little worried. Justin, what do you think?
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. I'm about I would say right now I'm about a 5, okay?
Out of what?
For me is out of 10.
Okay.
5 out of 10. I'm right in the middle. I'm a little nervous, but I'm not full panic mode yet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, the big thing is heading into the Seattle game. I need to see, we're going to have starters out there. Obviously, it's not going to be a full send on what we're going to do as far as game plan for week one. But I would like to see some improvement and some consistency and at least like the little things as far as penalties and organization. I want to see that all buttoned up. Now, going into Dallas, if we're still not sure about what's going on at tackle, I have major concerns. Because if we cannot keep Deshaun Watson upright, especially coming off of an injury already, the concern meter is very high because I think we ride or die with Watson this year. So if we cannot keep him upright and healthy, or we can't even fill those holes as far as if it's just a rotating door all season with the tackle position on both sides, man, that is a huge, huge red flag going into the season and could derail the season for us.
Dude, it's ride or
die
with Watson.
Yeah, I mean, you want that.
Go ahead, Kenny.
Yeah, I was going to say, you wanted to run that pass option offense that Ken Dorsey wants. At the end of the day, yesterday and the previous preseason game, we're clearly not doing that. We don't have the offensive line to do it. There was 37 targets yesterday between the two quarterbacks. 24 were to backs and tight ends. That's generally how you don't win in the NFL, and that's definitely how you do not run Ken Dorsey's offense, right? So if we don't have that offensive line, that is a major concern. What I want to see in the add-on to what Justin was saying is I want to see at steady offensive line performance enough that we can get the first down passing going. So we're second and short, and then we're moving the chains from second and short and beyond. And that's where I want to what I want to see next week. So if that happens, feeling good. That doesn't happen, and we get the same old repeat of the last 2 weeks, not feeling good.
Do you guys want Deshaun Watson to start the game in Seattle? This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Dog pack, the summer's in full swing, and you guys know what that means. Omaha Steaks annual hotter than fire sale. Go to omahasteaks.com right now, and for a limited time, you guys can get big savings on great packages from Omaha Steaks for just $99. Plus, you guys can get an extra $10 off that order with promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, at checkout. So these packages with that promo code are essentially $89. From exquisite steaks to legendary burgers, the premium pork, the air-chilled chicken, the meatballs, the chicken wings, the appetizers, the ready-to-eat meals, the wine, everything that Omaha Steaks has to offer, head over there today, check it out. Shop the Hotter Than Fire sale to get these exclusive savings on the mouthwatering packages that start at just $99. Plus, use that code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out for an extra $10 off your order. But hurry, because this sale is only available for a limited time. Summer always flies by, and this deal is going to fly by, so you're not going to want to miss it. Go shop today, omahasteaks.com. Use promo code DOGS at checkout for an extra $10 off your order.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Let's say two of those tackles can't practice this week. Let's just say even one of them. Let's say Jermaine Ifedi can't play this week, and we have James Hudson, and it's either Hakeem Adeniji or Lorenzo Thompson over at left tackle for the preseason game. Are we putting Watson out there behind that line?
Yeah, I think we do. But the problem is, if it's scary, if we run two or three plays and he's on his ass for two or three plays, get him out of there. If we can't protect him, especially in a preseason game, and I'm not sure, from what I've seen from Seattle, they've been very aggressive with their starters on defense leading up to this game, at least from what I've seen. So if they're going to play their starters, let's say a half, and we're planning on playing Watson, you know, you would think a series or two, maybe a quarter. If we can't protect him and they're sending their 100% full-fledged defense out there, you got to get him out of there. You cannot keep him in there if you can't protect him.
I say Andrew Jackson here in the chat says, no tackles, no Watson. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm sort of in that mindset right now. After watching that game yesterday and just thinking about this whole situation, I've got confidence in Deshaun Watson as far as, I mean, it's not like it's his first rodeo. He's been in the league for a long time. He knows how to play the quarterback position. Yeah, it'd be nice to get him out there and let him tune it up a little bit against a real team, against a real defense and all that kind of stuff in a game situation. But man, if there's, what are you really getting out of him if he's dropping back and facing immediate pressure and running for his life? And it's like, then what's even the point?
I guess it's the point would be just basically to not have rust. I mean, I guess it's a tired narrative that we're hearing over and over again about Deshaun. Oh, he's rusty. Oh, he's rusty. And you clearly are making like logical sense with what you're saying. Like, we don't need him injured again. However, we do want him at some point. He's got to play football. Football is a brutal sport. Injuries happen. Do we need another one for him? Then it's the other narrative with him. He's injured all the time. So it's almost like a double-edged sword, right?
I completely agree with you. I think no matter what right now, I think that as far as like as fans and, you know, even maybe the team in general, I think they just don't want any excuses. You know what I mean? We don't want it to be a week one. Oh, well, he was rusty. He didn't get any reps in camp. Or, you know, reps in preseason games or, you know, oh, we had to hold him out of games because we were worried about him being injured or all that. I think I'm 100% with you, Kenny. It's just one of those things where I think we just have to let him get out there and get reps. And then come week one, we know what we're getting. You know what I mean? And then we'll get to see this expanded offense and everything kind of fall in place. And hopefully everybody's healthy.
All right. Well, Pastor Rob wants to come up on stage. I think he's more in line with you guys than he is with me. So let's see what he has to say here.
Yeah, I'm very much the game time under his belt. If you think about it, if you play with bad tackles, he knows they're going to be bad tackles. So he's not going to be sitting in the pocket. He's not going to get launched. He's not going to get killed. It's going to speed up his time, and therefore he's going to throw the ball quicker. That's going to be good game practice for him. Speed up the processes, speed up the game clock, make him think quicker, make him get rid of the ball. Also, make him get rid of the ball as well. So, oh, nothing's on, done. That's all good stuff for him. Speeding up his game clock, getting him ready, getting the speed and timing all going. Even if they're crap tackles, I think getting him out there is the minimum you need to do.
So don't...
Admittedly, if he's getting fucked up, that's something wrong.
Yeah, I would say, so don't hear what I'm not saying. Like, I definitely think that he should play. I want to see him play, but I'm also considering the situation of, man, if this is just a patchwork third and fourth string at best offensive line in front of him, and if Kevin's not even wanting to go out there and run the actual playbook or any of the playbook that we're going to run in the season, then I really don't see the point. Like, he's not getting any practice reps with the new offensive system. He's not getting any reps again, you know, with a good offensive line in front of him. Whatever they decide to do, I'll be okay with. I'm just, if Kevin comes out by the end of the week and says, you know what, we are going to err on the side of caution here, Deshaun's not going to suit up for this one, I personally won't be upset. I would understand, but I know a lot of fans probably would be mad.
Like, if he's getting killed, like you say, if he's actually just getting killed, like he's getting lit up, dropped to the ground every single play, then yeah, cool him. Get him the hell out of there. Don't let him touch it.
Yeah.
But and I think
he needs to come into the game at least, as a minimal.
And my whole thing too, I guess, is I don't want his first game reps or first live reps of the season to be, oh, hey, Micah Parsons is on the other side of the line. You know what I mean? Like, that it's not like that is a cupcake warm-up game against you know, an average defense. That defense is a pretty solid defense in the NFL. So that, I guess, that would be a part of my concern also, as far as if he doesn't get any preseason reps in game.
That's a fair point. One other thing to keep in mind too is, you know, if he starts and, you know, we decide to start off the game running the ball or anything like that, for however long Deshaun's in the game, he is going to be facing 2nd and 9, 2nd and 8 at the absolute best. We can't run the freaking ball. It was 2.4 yards a carry yesterday. It was 3.7 the first game, 2.4 yesterday. I mean, watching the run game, and I get it. I know it's backups and preseason and all that stuff, but we watched a lot of backups play on the offensive line at the end of last season and the real season, and the run game suffered because of it. So I was just... I was just hoping to see a little bit more imposing of the will from the offensive line, just hoping that Andy Dickerson coming in here would kind of have all these guys from first string down to fourth and fifth string just kind of fired up and, you know, physical, pushing guys. And I don't feel it. I don't see it from anybody on this offensive line right now.
You didn't think that a good game?
Say who?
Demaldi Forbel. You know, he had a good game.
He was 10 for 18.
He was 10 for 18. Like, he had a great receiving game, but he didn't have a great running game. It was 1.8 yards a carry.
All 18 yards came from him manufacturing yards. He got, like, the offensive line afforded him nothing. This is not a Deontay Foreman. I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm saying the offensive line sucked. I mean, that's terrible.
He was getting hit 2 yards in the backfield, and he was making people miss just to hit break even, you know? Pierre Strong was Pierre Strong. He was 3 for 2 yards, so he averaged 0.67 yards a carry. He doesn't break tackles. Aiden Robbins was decent, but he had a big loss, so that cut him down to 2 yards a tackle. And then our leading rusher, Tyler Huntley, just, you know, used his legs to will himself down the field because he had to, because nobody was freaking open.
Do you think Pierre Strong plays like he runs with his eyes closed? Because there's gaps there and they're open and he just doesn't hit the hole. He doesn't hit the gap. Agreed. He runs into someone's back and you're like, what are you doing? There's like a lane to your right and you're running straight into your own lineman. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah,
it's called the Jerome Ford special.
Yeah, right. If Pierre Strong makes the team, I think it's going to be on the back of what they want him to do in the return game, because I do not see them utilizing him whatsoever in the running game. I think it's, you know, Nick Chubb's probably on the pup to start the season, and then you're looking at Jerome Ford, Deontay Foreman, and Aiden Robbins. To me, the way they're utilizing him in these preseason games, I mean, last week, you know, he came in, he was the last running back to come in, but they felt good enough about what he showed to go ahead and move on from John Kelly. So they're already like, hey, let's chop down this position a little bit. Come into this week, Aiden Robbins gets a lot more. Well, I mean, he gets 6 carries, but he doubles up what Pierre Strong was given, does more with it. I thought he did well in the receiving game, even though he got hit almost immediately on the one. I mean, nothing you can do there, but, you know, he's blocking. He's just showing his willingness to do whatever he needs to do on the field. And I think the team likes that. So I don't know. I could see him really taking that third running back spot to start the season behind Foreman, especially if I don't think Hines, I have no idea. I at this point, I have no confidence that he's going to be available.
Yeah. The big adage that everybody seems to say about these games in the preseason is you're not looking for someone doing good. The good stuff will happen. It's you're looking for what people are doing bad. And it's the things that people are doing that are wrong, in the wrong position, the wrong place, or doing things like the fumble last week from John. Like, these are the things that say you're not making a team.
Well,
there's a bunch of guys doing a lot more wrong things than there is good things.
Amarian Brown.
Oh, I mean, if he's
fumbling on the kickoff, well, I know he fumbled it out of bounds or whatever, but that easily could have been a turnover, and, you know, just stuff like that. Like you're saying, it's like that doesn't bode well for your chances.
The whole game was just based on really 3 interceptions and a long 71-yard touchdown. If you cut all those out, then it would have been like a 16-13, you know, the Browns special from last year. I think all their games ended up 21-20, you know, those kind of games, right? The good parts of the game, though, is like if you look through the Packers game, if you look through the Vikings game, the time of possession, the Browns won. And I know that's a thorn in the side for a lot of Browns fans. They don't want to hear that, but that means they're controlling. Their plays are about even. The penalties are about even. So they're in the game. The plays are being called. It's about even per team. They're just not making the big plays that the other teams are playing. So I think, you know, we're not getting railroaded by teams. We're just kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. That's because the back end of the roster is playing, so we can have back end 50, right?
Yeah, and they got to fill out the practice squad. So, all right, what?
And fill out the practice squad. There you go.
What do you think? Do you think there's a chance that we take
neither of the quarterbacks that that were in this game into our 53 and we get someone else on the practice squad.
Oh, no, I think 0%.
I think those guys are... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, with AB, you never know, but I would highly doubt it. With Tyler Huntley, though, that overthrow, man, that was a bad throw. He might have, like, dropped himself with that. And all the other interceptions in this game were on the receivers. They were in their hands. Yes, they could have been better. They could have been positioned better in the numbers. But if you can get your hands on it, you got to bring it down in the NFL.
Yeah, because DTR's pick was off. Who was it? Who was he targeting on that one? I forget. It went right off his arm.
It was
right off
Thrash.
His Thrash, yeah, that's right. And yeah, just because I remember I was watching with my dad yesterday, and I said that I wish that they gave half interception credit in the box scores to players, kind of like they do with sacks for the defense. Like you can have half a sack or a full sack. Well, how about you give the quarterback a half an interception on that one and give the receiver half an interception? By the end of the year, then you can see how many interceptions got credited to the receivers. You know what I mean? Or if it goes right off of a receiver's hands, he just straight up doesn't catch it, give him the full interception. Don't even give it to the quarterback. It's just, it does kind of suck.
100%, Josh.
I think that them starting DTR yesterday was a sign of confidence and faith in him. I think he's kind of got that leg up right now over Huntley. He was their draft pick. He's on the rookie contract, all that kind of stuff. So if anybody's going to get moved, going to get traded, I mean, Minnesota's obviously looking for QB depth right now. Matt Corral, I doubt, is the answer for them. You know, it could be Tyler Huntley getting, maybe this is another fourth or fifth round pick coming back.
DTR, I mean, when he had a good pocket, like he threw some laser beams, like our running backs. I mean, he didn't have much time to set up. Huntley didn't either, to be fair. But I think DTR looked a little bit better. And a lot of the times, like my personal opinion, when DTR is on the field, he's one of the better athletes on the field. And Huntley's a good one. He's a good athlete. When he wants to run, and I don't know if you guys gathered this from the game, I felt like they said, just read the game, because he didn't run at all. And he's such a dynamic playmaker with his feet. And I was surprised that he did no running in the last, maybe the Packers game. But this one, he just seemed ready to read the defense, and that's it, and throw the ball.
Yeah, Huntley had that one. One nice run yesterday. I remember seeing that. I was like, okay, pretty cool how he escaped some pressure and made something happen. DTR last week had that hurdle for a first down over a guy, which was, wow, dude, that's okay. It's just like, I agree with you, Kenny. He's got that athleticism, but I think he's showing better pocket awareness and command of the passing game right now, in my opinion.
I think they're trying to get them to do that, though. I think they're trying to get them to see the field rather than just being, because both Huntley and DTR in their past have been the scrambler type QBs, where they want to get on their legs and start moving and start making something out of structure. But I think they're trying to get them to both stay in structure, which is, I think, what they're trying to get Deshaun to do. They're trying to get him to stay more in structure, even though Deshaun really flourishes out of structure.
Well, they were talking.
That's what they exactly said on the TV. They exactly said what you're saying about Huntley in Baltimore. He basically had a read, and it was run after that. He said in practice here, what they're trying to do with Huntley is go to a couple reads, then run.
Yeah, make it much more involved in reading the game rather than just look at one thing, no, go hunt me out of structure and do something off throw as he runs to his right into the corner, like the where we got the pass interference that was, yeah, was where it was kind of amazing that he got to where he did and threw the ball where it went, because it looks like he was throwing it away and it ended up with that weird pass interference.
Yeah.
The only good thing all game.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that play because you're right. It did look like DTR was just going to throw it out of bounds. He was heading to the sideline, and it just kind of, he's definitely a playmaker, you can tell, and he's just keeping his eyes downfield. And honestly, he threw the ball in a spot where it was Richie, right? Giovanni Richie, who ended up
he's out
now with a knee injury. Opens up some opportunity for Trayton Welch, who I thought had a nice game too. But you know, Richie was actually in position to make that catch. You're right, Pastor Rob. I mean, then there's that pass interference that basically stopped him from coming down with that for a touchdown, which I had never in a million years would have thought DTR was making a throw to the end zone that could have actually been a touchdown on that play, but he did.
Yeah, it was a very strange play.
It was.
You guys kind of touched on something. Maybe what's your thoughts on this? So we're talking about the offense. Behind David Njoku, who's been playing the best so far? Is it Zaire Mitchell-Payton? Is it Giovanni Richie? Or is it Trayton Welch? Because Trayton Welch, he came in, looked good. It was against lesser competition, I would say, but he's solid. Giovanni Richie got the start over Mitchell-Payton, did he not? But Zaire looked pretty good. Like, he's getting down the field. It looks like he's blocking. He was a former basketball player and has no football experience is what I'm trying to say before this. So, I mean, maybe he has a bigger upside with his size.
Mitchell Payton's a guy that's been around for a couple years, practice squad and stuff, that I've always thought flashed a little bit here and there preseason, and he's kind of doing that again, but I think he's flashing a little more than in the past. I think Richie is just one of those guys that's more of a do-it-all type of player. I think that he can line up at the fullback position if they want to go that route in any play formations. Obviously, he can be in-line blocking. I think they can bump him out to kind of like the move if they need to. And he's a special teamer. So that's why I think that Richie's kind of getting that priority leg up a little bit on some of these other guys, but now he's got the injury, so he's out. I don't know how long he's going to be out. I don't know if it's just hey, you're not going to practice this week, but you're probably going to make the roster tape deal or what's going on. But Justin, what do you think about Mitchell Payton and Richie?
I thought Mitchell Payton yesterday kind of flashed a couple of times. There's a couple of times he made some, I mean, the very athletic catch. And then after the catch there, you know, there was some, he just looked athletic. And for him, I guess it's one of those things, you know, you figure David Njoku, Jordan Atkins, or Akins, it's locked in. You know what I mean? You would think that that'd be the 1-2 for the most part. But after that, you know, it's like Josh, like you said, Richie's out now. It's kind of open up in the air. Welch looked good yesterday, but I thought for the first time in a couple of seasons, like you said, Mitchell Payton kind of flashed and he looked good out there.
He did. I mean, he led the team 4 catches on 4 targets, 59 yards, 14.8 yards a target. Like, that's pretty good. I mean, you know, I get it. I know this is preseason, but this is what we're looking for. We're looking for some of these back end roster guys to come out here and show that they belong on that back end of that roster. So I thought he had a nice game. It's one of those positions where I don't know what they're going to do, but whoever they decide to move over to the practice squad, they're going to have a good practice squad player at the tight end position, in my opinion. So, Pastor Rob, is there anything else you want to get into while you're up here?
I was just going to say, I thought Mitchell Payton had good hands. He's got quite a big white wingspan on him, but he was good at getting both hands to the ball rather than he seems to have a decent knowledge of where the ball's going to move and how it's going to move around him and then where the players are around him. And he's getting his hands both into good positions for catching and pulling the ball in. I did think that Akins had a really good couple of catches and a couple of moves as well, which is nice for him after last year of, 15 catches all season?
Maybe.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't even know if it was that many, but...
Did you guys see where he was lining up though? He looked like more like a receiver as where he was lining up with other tight ends lined up on the line of scrimmage. Did you guys notice that?
Two or three out, I think, yeah.
You talking about Mitchell Payton?
Oh, Jordan Akins.
Oh, last week?
He was almost lining up where the slot was rather than where a tight end would be.
I'm okay.
I just think that they're preferencing him as a catching tight end rather than a blocking.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, if we're going to look at those snaps, then if you look at Zaire Mitchell-Payton from yesterday, maybe they're looking at him, treating him kind of that same way, because he had, his splits were 50-50. It was 12 in the slot and 12 in line.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. And I guess we'll just look at the other guys. So Richie was 5 in the slot, 2 in line. Trayton Welch was 9 in the slot, 6 in line, and 4 out wide, actually. So Trayton Welch was kind of getting used all over the field. This episode is brought to you by Manly Bands. Dog Pack, if you followed the show for a while, you know that I recently got married. I got my wedding band at Manly Bands. Now, I opted for something a little more simple, so I just got a plain, simple, gold, polished band from Manly Bands. But that's not everybody, and I'm telling you, they've got so many cool different designs and materials available. They've got stuff. They've got bands made out of Jack Daniel's whiskey barrels, meteorites, even dinosaur bones. It's so cool. Just head to manlybands.com, check out the selection, see what they have. They've even got build your own bands if you want to make a custom style band for yourself. And right now, use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, at manlybands.com when you check out, and you'll get 25% off your order. 25% is a big deal. So make sure, if you guys are looking for a new wedding band, Blake mentioned last week or two on the show that, you know, he's lost a lot of weight in the last year. And so his wedding band is a little too big for him. So he's thinking about getting a new one. And I told him, I said, just go to Manly Band, see what they got. And the 25% off your order is such a great deal. You really can't beat it. So at least go check it out, see what they have. They've got some really cool stuff. And again, promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, if you decide to buy one, and you'll get 25% off of that purchase. If you don't know your ring size, you can order a free ring size guide. They'll ship it straight to you. You can punch out the little rings and put them on your finger to see which size fits you best. And then every single band you order comes with a free silicone ring for whenever you want to work out or go swimming or whatever you need a silicone band for. You get one for free shipped with your purchase of a Manly Band from manlybands.com. So check it out. Again, manlybands.com. Use promo code DAWGS for 25% off your order.
I mean, you can see with the tight ends, I think Vrabel coaching is paying off, because you see the targets, whatever the number is, like I'm looking at it and I'm not doing the math in my head, but there's only one guy that dropped the pass. Pretty much it was on target for everybody. So Zaire had 4 receptions, 4 targets. Richie, 4 receptions, 4 targets. Welsh, 2 receptions, 3 targets. And then wherever Akins is, he was 2 for 2. Like they're doing what they need to do.
They were working really well in the middle of the field as well. They were doing a lot of crossing or a lot of the just hanging out, going out and then stumping, waiting ready for the pass. It was very shallow. Just give me 5, give me 7, and then coming across and opening themselves up really well. I think what they're wanting to do with the tight ends, if this is what they're going to do going forward, we have no idea because this is preseason. But like the stuff that they looked like they were doing is, as you said, more in the slot, more pushing them out, and more getting the mismatch, because like tight end on linebacker being pushed out or tight end on cornerback is like missed. You're not dealing with that.
That's what they did in Buffalo.
Yep. And keep in mind too that tight end is going to be David Njoku.
Right.
You know what I mean? A super athletic, you can do it all. You know what I mean?
It bodes really well, Justin, as you said.
Yep.
I agree. All right, let's see here. Pastor Rob, I'm going to go ahead and... Oh, never mind. You took care of that yourself. Let's see. Does anybody else want to come up here and talk before we... see, we've got maybe 15 minutes or so here left. Okay, Truth wants to come on up. I don't think... Truth, were you here last week? I don't think you were you?
No.
No. Oh, you sound buddy? Sad, buddy.
Money, the money back.
What up, brother? So, question for you guys. What is this injury bug seems pretty bad this year across the league. Obviously, yesterday was pretty bad for some offensive line depth pieces. Still, we do not have a definite answer when Jedrick Wills or Jack Conklin will return, though I've heard Conklin is maybe practice here and there. Jed Wills is pretty much MIA as far as I have heard. Do you think Andrew Berry goes and gets some more pieces before the season starts? And if that's the case, does that bode well for our offense starting the beginning of the season? Yeah. What do you guys think about that?
So I guess for me, and correct me if I'm wrong here, because maybe this is just how I'm feeling about it, but I feel like we've been healthier at camp as far as injuries happening at camp, but just came into camp way more hurt. You know what I mean? Way more guys already on the IR, already injured. I think as far as for your question, I think that it's very telling as far as you haven't seen Andrew Berry go make a move yet. As far as for those starting tackle spots, I think if there was more, I guess, unknown or insecurity about what their starting potential would be for week one, I think he would have made a move, just in my opinion. So I think the fact that he hasn't, maybe, you know, he knows a little bit more than we do, and that's why you're not seeing a move, or maybe there's just not a whole lot out there. You know what I mean? I know we've talked about it. It'd be nice to see them go make a move for, you know, like a Bakhtiari, but same thing is he's been hurt also. So what kind of value are you really getting? It's just another guy that is going to ride the pine on IR if, you know, he's still in the same shape as he's been in the last couple of years.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of looking over Twitter, some of the recent reports coming out right now. And the first one that pops up for me was from the Orange and Brown Report. You guys, they agree with me. They said Deshaun Watson has no business playing at all in the Seattle game. They're reporting there's clearly a disconnect between the Browns and Jedrick Wills regarding the health of his knee, as he will be out yet another week, which means he will miss the preseason finale in Seattle. And then I don't know if you guys follow any of these people, but Dr. Deepak Jonah, sports doctor on Twitter, I follow him for a lot of injury updates and stuff. And he's got, for Jedrick Wills, he said MCL fixed late 2023. His delay in recovery may be due to slow muscle recovery, possible unreported meniscus, likely playing week one at about 100%. So at least that's good news for him. But Jack Conklin, it says week one ACL, MCL, average 11 months to recover. Offensive line performance typically returns to pre-injury level mid-year one back. So they're projecting him to not, Jack Conklin, to not be up to full speed until halfway through the season, which is not exactly what I was hoping to hear there.
No, that's awful. Like, what? I mean, what's your options at this point? You're going to put, like,
well,
I mean,
we have DeJuan Jones.
Yeah, DeJuan Jones.
We're okay.
Well, would you move Joel to left tackle? He's played admirably the three times I think he's done it, or maybe it's two times. And then you move Zinter into his spot. Like,
as long as Jed's ready for,
that's pulling straws.
If Jed's ready for week one, I'm not touching it. I'm letting that offense, the starting offensive line go, and we'll see how they perform. Hopefully we come out unscathed, and we'll just kind of take it as the season progresses. But it's just good to know that we do have DeJuan Jones if anything were to happen to either of these tackles. And then, yeah, Kenny, I do think maybe you explore. We talked a lot last year about, well, could they try moving Joel Bitonio out there to left tackle, like you said, bring in somebody else. And like, it's a great point. Now we do have Zach Zinter, who I think is looking okay. I don't know if he's exactly ready to handle a starting role yet, but I think that he's progressing. He looks okay to me in the preseason. Just, he's a rookie. You know, what do you expect? Not everybody's DeJuan Jones and ready to take over and manhandle TJ Watt from day one.
I agree, Josh. I think that if that report is true, and Jed is going to be, you know, upwards of close to 100% for week one, I think you roll Jed, Joel, Ethan, you know, Posick, Wyatt Teller, and DeJuan Jones, and you set it and forget it. Yeah. Like you said, I 100% agree.
Truth, I got to keep muting you. I'm sorry, man. You got a little background coming through here. Actually, let me unmute you. Is there anything else that you wanted to throw at us?
Yeah. So, the one thing is, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, we got you.
Okay, cool. All right. So the one thing I have to ask is, are you guys ready for November 3rd?
Yes, sir.
They better be ready for us.
Yeah. Right. So, we've talked about this the last few Discord shows. If you haven't been tuning in or you haven't heard so far, November 3rd, is the Chargers game up in Cleveland. And then November 2nd, the night before, we are having a get together. Kenny, what's the bar? You got all the details on the location. What's it called?
It's Grindstones. It's right by Berea. And that's where we're going to have our party. Basically, we're going to get together. Generally, these Browns backer bashes, we do a raffle. We usually have a player show up, just hang around with other Browns fans. Raffle supports whatever charity that the Berea Browns backers want to do. There'll be some bar specials. And then a live band goes on around 4 to 8, or sorry, around 8 o'clock. And we just have a good time, and we're getting ready for the Chargers game the next day.
Yep. It's going to be awesome.
Can't wait.
It's going to be a ton of fun. So I look in the chat. Andrew Jackson says, do you guys see the Browns using Chief David Njoku as blocking help to help alongside the lackluster tackle play instead of him running routes and catching the ball?
It might have to. I mean, that's the only other option, right? Depending on who we're playing and how they're coming off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. And I think that's part of his deal anyway. You know what I mean? That's part of his role game to game already. But I mean, obviously they'll have stuff designed for him where he blocks and then just kind of bails out of it and, you know, runs a little route and gets open. But, I mean, it's a nice tool to have a Pro Bowl level blocking tight end.
And I would like to see, the thing is, like, it sucks to have in this injury now with Richie, because I felt like maybe he could be a guy that they could come in and utilize him in line a little bit in the run game if they needed a little help blocking on one side or the other. But we'll just have to monitor and see kind of how his injury is going. But we've got, I don't know, a little less than 10 minutes. Is there anybody else who wants to come up on stage and ask any questions or talk about anything from the game yesterday before we wrap it up? Anybody, anybody? Nobody wants to talk about Cade York making another field goal? 33-yarder? Okay. All right, so we're not getting excited about Cade York. I understand. That's cool. No big deal. Truth is back, and did I? Yes, Doris I had him catch. Muted. All right, what's up, buddy? Sorry, you were muted.
No, you're fine. Speaking of Cade York, do you think we're going to keep 2 field goal kickers on the roster?
No.
No,
I don't.
I think he's practice squad.
I do think that we're going to put Cade York on the practice squad. You know, and I think he's played really, really well this preseason. It's a nice story. You know what I mean? It's a nice feel good story. He comes back. He's looked great, but I think that's going to be all Hopkins' role once the season starts.
100% agree. 100% agree. I did think that Corey Bohorquez I'm so happy that we re-signed him and got him extended and all that stuff, because watching him punt yesterday, it's like he is truly a weapon out there. He can flip the field so nicely, and that's just, it is a big underrated part of the game, but something we got to mention.
Yep.
It's nice. Seems like the starter that's most ready for the regular season right now out of anybody is our punter.
Yeah. Well, that's about right, but I think that'll pretty much wrap it up, unless you guys had any last thoughts on the game yesterday you wanted before we get out of here.
Just another preseason game. You know, let's not get too, I know we're still a few weeks out, but I think that we just have to be patient. Don't buy too much into what you saw yesterday as far as like a negative as far as moving forward. Yeah, if we look like that week one, I give you full consent to go 100% panic mode. I will not argue with you. Full consent, you're all good. But until then, I think we have to be a little patient.
Right. And it looks
yeah,
like
I agree.
Go ahead.
Oh, there we go.
Hear me?
We got you.
Absolutely,
yes, sir. All right. Well, I'm still in the truck, so sorry for bad audio. But I've got, it's kind of a two-pointer. Are you surprised that Hall played yesterday with everything that's going on with him?
Yes. Now, I'll say it. I am surprised. But in the same sense, I will say maybe that we don't have all 100% of the info as far as what's going on with that case. And, you know, there's a reason why I'm not a general manager for the NFL, or there's a reason why, you know, I'm not in a front office where I have to make that decision. But I think that maybe they have a little bit more info than we do, and they're, you know, going with due
diligence. And I think that's what I meant. Yeah, because that's kind of where I was at when I was talking with Pastor Rob yesterday in the Discord chat while the game was going on. Is from my understanding, he's being charged with misdemeanors. And
yes, yes.
If it were the use of a firearm, almost 99.99% of the time guarantees a felon.
Yeah.
So there's just something there that doesn't seem to be adding up to the reports based off of the charges. So I think there's, you know, everybody just kind of needs to calm down a little bit there.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I know when I read it, I was like, I'm pretty sure I said, hey, you know, if he had a firearm in any way, that's an automatic, you know, he's got prison time to worry about before, you know, commissioner's list or something like that. But I don't think that 100% all right. The info is out there.
Yeah, I find it odd that you would say, like, what the allegations are, he pointed a gun or put it to the temple of his partner. Then he comes back and he's post bail. We find out that he has a misdemeanor domestic. And so all that doesn't add up. You know what I
right.
mean? I don't think he'd be posting $10,000 with a felon. You'd be posting out a lot more than that.
Yeah.
But I mean,
that'd probably be closer to 25 to 100,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's odd. And the domestic situations, I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah. It really just comes down to who said, she said.
And clearly they have issues. They need to work on them. He needs to work on his life. She needs to work on her life to get to the situation they're in. And hopefully they can figure that out.
Yep.
All right. I hope the best for him, to be honest. Yeah. Unfortunately, from my own circumstances in life, but.
For sure. And, and, you know, just to go back to your original question, if you'd have told me on Tuesday that, you know, he was going to be playing here on Saturday, I'd have said, I am surprised. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But then as we got more information and he was back at practice on Wednesday, and I was like, oh, it's just a misdemeanor, not, you know, based on what we had heard and read, it was like, that sounded worse. I'm actually not surprised he played. I mean, he's, as long as he's not convicted of a felony or anything that's keeping him off the team, like we need him out there. He's got to practice. He's got to get ready for his job. So, I mean, I get it.
You would have told me Tuesday that he was going to be on the team Wednesday, right. I would have been kind of surprised based on what I was reading. And I'm just being honest, you know what I mean? Based on what I read, I was like, oh man, that is a tough deal for a 21-year-old kid. You know what I mean?
This is why you got to, you know, we said this a lot on Tuesday. We said, yeah, all right, it doesn't look good, doesn't sound good, but we got to wait. We just got to let the facts come out. We got to let the situation resolve itself because we don't have all the information. So we can't sit here, make any snap judgments because as more information comes out, we could be completely wrong. And it seems like that was the smart way to go.
Yeah. Any media story this day is a rabbit hole and you need to step back.
You always have
wait
to
wait for all the info to come out.
Yep. Wait 2 or 3 days before you really decide what you're going to believe, because whatever's reported first, a lot of times isn't even the truth. So I think that kind of wraps it up for preseason week 2. 27. I don't even think we ever said the score, but 27-12. The Browns did not get a win yet. So again, preseason doesn't really matter, wins and losses, but just want to see some of these guys and how they're going to perform. And unfortunately, we didn't get a whole lot from our offensive line. Defense looked a little bit better. But if you want to hear about everything that we talked, all the recap and everything from yesterday, head back to the beginning of the episode and watch it through there. One of you guys has some clicking coming through. I think it might be Is that Justin? To me? Might be. Hang on. I'm just going to mute you here real quick. See if that works. But we're wrapping up anyway. So thanks again for everybody tuning in. Again, if you want to get into these Dog Pack Discords with us, head over to jointhedogs.com. Become a member on our Patreon page to get you access to the private Discord. Get to hang out with all these cool guys. It is an awesome community. Constant 24/7 conversations going on in there. And you get to jump in here and do these Discord shows with us. We're going to do these all season long. At least that's the plan. And again, you've got about 5 or 6 days left to get into the fantasy football leagues for this season. The cutoff will be at the end of the day on Friday the 23rd here coming up. So don't wait. If you want to play fantasy, get in now. We've had quite a few people sign up over the weekend here, and we're getting the league situated. So get your names in now so we can get you all the information, get our draft date set, and start playing some fantasy football. So Kenny, Justin, appreciate you guys jumping in here. Everybody who jumped in from the Dog Pack, you guys are awesome. You guys are the best. And we will talk to you guys. Actually, we're going to be up at training camp, me and Justin, on Wednesday. So if anybody's going to be at training camp Wednesday, look for me and Justin. Come say hi. We'll be up there. And we'll happy to talk to you guys, whoever's there. And we're going to do a podcast, probably YouTube Live Wednesday, whenever we get back from training camp. So until we see you guys on Wednesday, let's go Brownies.
Let's go, baby. Hey.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over, so you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Are you ready to get serious about your weight loss journey? Tried crash and burn calorie restriction? Considering the invasive strategy of GLP-1 injections like Ozempic? Slow down and consider a safer, easier, and long-lasting solution. Golo is clinically proven to work without the dangerous side effects of injections and fad diets. Golo's release helps your body combat the stress of dieting while controlling cravings and hunger. Minimize muscle loss and feel better with Golo. Just take one Golo Release supplement with each meal and follow the Golo for Life plan. It's an effective and affordable plan to lose weight for good.
There are no insurance hoops to jump through. No prescription needed. Just sensible, effective weight loss and a healthier lifestyle on your terms. Get started on a healthier, happier, and more energetic you at golo.com. 5 million people have already discovered a better way to lose weight. Join them and go to golo.com. That's golo.com today.